Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
Welcome in to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. I am excited for today's show, folks. Here's the deal. Every once in a while, you come across somebody who's doing something innovative in the paranormal field. It's rare because I think we've pretty much done as much as we can do as far as investigating, but every once in a while, somebody comes along and does some innovative stuff, and you got to get them on the program and start to talk about it. Well, I'm kind of tooling around online, and a friend had an event in Iowa, as a matter of fact. They were doing potographs in Iowa. And as I'm going along, I see a group by the name of ACG Paranormal. And I thought, huh, I wonder what's going on with them. And I'm looking at the different groups that are there in Iowa and wondering why I wasn't invited. No, I'm kidding. But I look and I see ACG Paranormal. So I kind of trace back and I look to see if they have a presence online. And I see their Facebook page and I'm looking at things and I see something interesting. And that is that they like to mix music into their investigations. Well, this gets me thinking. So I said, you know, back in the days when we were doing IWI, you know, Independent Wrestling International, at the Mounds Theater in East St. Paul, we used to get a huge reaction, because the theater's haunted, we used to get a huge reaction when it came to music and the energy of the crowd and live wrestling, and it used to get the spirits really hyped up. And I thought, man, you know what? I really want to get them on the show and talk about how they use music in their investigations and the other ways that they investigate and how they think outside the box. So I shot an email out to Nat at ACG. They were more than happy to come on the program. First, I said, who's this? And then I had to explain who I was. And then we got to it. But they were more than happy to come on the program. I'm giving them a lot of credit here. ACG Paranormal, Always Chasing Ghosts, is a paranormal team from Chicago. Their leader, Nat, started paranormal investigating at the ripe old age of 12. I don't know how she got her parents to let her go, but we'll find that out too. After years of investigating solo, she decided to form her own paranormal team. The team consists of four members: Nat, the leader and videographer, Elliot, the tech, Kid, the tech assistant, and Joe, the audio engineer. They're all here today. We're going to talk to all of them. The team likes to mix music into their investigations, as we said before, by physically playing the music for the ghosts. They also like to build their own tech. We're going to talk about that as well to make it more personal for the spirits. They've also been seen on Tubi TV, Amazon Prime, Roku, Fire TV, Paraflix, and YouTube. And when they're not investigating, you'll find them at concerts, playing music, or creating. I'm excited, folks, to talk to these guys. Let's welcome in to Darkness Radio, ACG Paranormal. Hey, gang, how you doing?
Hey, Tim.
Good. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being on, first of all. I do want to thank you all for coming on board and talking to little old me, because I got to tell you, I'm excited to talk about a different way of investigating, first of all. I think it's pretty much all been done. I think we can agree that we've seen it all done on television. We've seen it all done in person. We've all shown up to the same old events. You get the same old people screaming into the dark, and it's the same old questions, and it gets tiring. Nat, I want to address you first. First of all, when did it become, or has it become, a little tiring for you? And when did you decide it needed to be changed a little?
So I've been investigating since I was 12, but I didn't get into the community until, I think it was 2021.
Okay.
So I, you know, and then when I started seeing things that were just like, I'm like, I wasn't really like the biggest fan of, you know, because for me, I grew up with ghosts and I always kind of tried to be friends with them.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I was going is like, how do we connect with spirits on a more like fun, personal level? And for me, it's always kind of like, what is something that's really important to me? Music, you know, music has been a thing of mine since I can't even, like, it's all a blur, like, since I was very, very little. So I just wanted to bring, you know, something a little bit that's not as, like, scary to the spirits. Because if you're going into somebody's house, you know, I don't know, I'd rather bring a guitar than some weird alien devices that someone's, like, has never seen before. So,
well, and correct me if I'm wrong, and let's get Elliot in here right away. Does it seem weird to put a light in front of somebody who may have never seen a light before like that, especially if they're maybe 100 years old or older, and say, speak to this light? Because to me, that's weird.
That's one of the things that I do try to incorporate with my devices. Like in the past, I've made a motion activated violin. I've made a REM pod guitar. I try to make more things that they would want to play with than like just here, do this. I don't want to make them work. I want them to have something fun to mess with. Like I have a REM pod RC car. The entire RC car is a REM pod and I can hook cameras all over it.
Oh, wow.
It can drive in a building when there's no one in there. It's something fun. It's a toy. So like children's spirits would be like, oh, look, a toy. I can play with this instead of something that looks kind of like a bomb, you know?
Yeah. And a lot of that. Okay. So first of all, when you guys have traveled, how many times have you been pulled aside by airport security and asked what kind of bomb you're carrying?
Okay. So just to be clear, if you message TSA on Facebook beforehand, they will tell you whether or not you can fly with the device. They will question you,
okay,
but they will let you know if you can fly with it. And they're usually cool about most things.
Okay, well, that's a good tip. That's a very good tip because, it's kind of hinky to be, you know, to try and fly with a lot of that stuff. But yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've been pulled aside and asked, "What's this?" And you try to tell them, well, you use it to detect ghosts. And they give you the, sure, you know.
I always throw one of our cards in whatever bag the stuff is in.
That's a good idea. A very good idea. Because it's just, that you get the weirdest looks from TSA. It's hard to explain, too. And then when you try to explain that there's going to be other people on the same plane that are coming with, they go, sure, yeah. Well, how come they're not carrying as much stuff as you are? Oh, well, you know, it's just the way it kind of goes. Kid, I got to ask you, when it comes to a lot of these different inventions and bringing a lot of different things to the table, what's the most unusual thing you can think of that you guys bring to the table that's really cool and really inventive in order to communicate with these spirits?
I'm going to have to say, when Ellie makes the radios, I think it's so important because most of like her, all of the world has been involved with music from the beginning of time till now. I mean, music is a very important thing from 100 years ago till today. So I think it's important that you bring that and like kind of show them that like, hey, like you can use this device that you used to listen to back then and kind of like manipulate that in the way that you can speak or even putting music into like your, I don't know how to explain it. It's really hard because I'm kind of botching this a little bit.
No, you're not at all. I'll ask you this. What kind of music do you feel the spirits react to the most?
Ooh, anything. I'm a big fan of like jazz or blues, so going down south, you know.
Yep.
Different settings can like, it depends on the setting of the place where you're at. Chicago, old Chicago jail, they'll probably like some Johnny Cash or some BB King or something like that. But going to like California, maybe some pop music, just to fit in with the ghosts, just the fit with the setting of the music. Music's important to me and music's important to everybody, I feel.
Interesting. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Joe, let me ask you this. When you're investigating, do you feel that a newer style is more open and warm, or do you feel that some of the classic techniques may work a little bit better at first when you walk into a setting when you're investigating?
That's a good question, because I definitely feel like the new style is warm and inviting, but because it's like this team in particular, You know, I feel like there's a lot of respect that comes with any investigation that I walk into with Nat. There's always been a respect level. And like she said, she tries to be friends with the ghosts. And because that is what I came into the community as, you know, as knowing, that's what I try to do as well. But with that said, I think there are a couple classic things that we do as well. You know, like we incorporate spirit boxes, SB7. Mm-hmm. SB7 is around, you know. Mostly Elliot's tech, but the SB7 is definitely around. things like REM pods, trying to capture things through like little voice recorders, little digital recorders. So there's definitely a blend of both, but I think the way that we go about doing kind of some of the new stuff, we make it warm and inviting. So
that's really cool. Well, let me ask you, Nat. First of all, how in the heck do you go out investigating at the age of 12? You have to explain this to me. How does this happen?
Tell my parents. I grew up in the South Side, and there was a lot of old abandoned buildings I probably shouldn't have went into, but okay. And I don't encourage it, but there was a place in particular that wasn't too far. You know, I'd either like hitch a ride. My mom, she did drive me a couple times, but I would usually like tell a friend like, hey, I know a place, and we would go. It was called Manteno State Hospital. And okay. That was kind of like where I started off as. Mm-hmm. And the first time I went there, I actually like was pretty much dropped off and then like was there for a few hours by myself. And
oh my God, really?
I got hooked. And I think what it was I was dealing with ghosts like at my home. So when I started exploring more like what has happened, like that's kind of really when I started falling in love with history.
Okay.
Was around the age of 12. I believe that was like the same year that, you know, I got to go to DC. I got to go to like the Holocaust Museum. You know, there was a lot of like places that I started really like being able to explore. Salem, that was like one of the first years I went to Salem, Massachusetts. So I just kind of was like, there's other places that have ghosts, and like, you know, and I could feel them. I could feel them because I knew that feeling from my house too. You know, like, I used to hear this woman talking in the hallway. You know, I saw her full body apparition at the age of 8. And I don't know. I just was like, where else can I find, you know, these spirits? And I wanted to know more. Like, I'm all about ghost stories too. Like, I love hearing other people's ghost stories. So I just wanted to know more. I wanted to know if there was other people that experienced like the same thing as I did. Mm-hmm. And the more I like branched out, I actually made a lot of connections with friends that I've had, you know, for 20 years. Cause I was the ghost girl at school. Okay. And we bonded over like, oh, you saw the bathroom ghost. I saw the bathroom ghost. So that's kind of, you know, my connection with a lot of people throughout the years was through the paranormal. So
let me dig a little bit deeper here as far as your home life went and dealing with ghosts at home. Was there an immediate fear growing up, or did you think, well, this is just part of growing up? This is just like having a family dog or having a pet of some sort. Did a ghost just feel like part of the family, or was there something more to it?
So I actually would see ghosts at like a very young age. Like I actually watched a VHS tape about 10 years ago at my mom's house. And I almost forgot. I remember seeing a spirit under my house. You know, I was right back to an alleyway and I could see it from my, you know, my backyard. And there was a lamppost. And I remember seeing a guy standing under the lamppost and he had his hood up, and I called him my Star Wars friend. And I almost forgot about this. And it was my Star Wars friend because he looked like the little hologram.
Yeah.
Darth Sidious, yeah. Darth Palpatine. I'm into Lord of the Rings. Sorry, guys.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's fine.
I think I got it right, though. I know it's Darth Sidious. Yeah. But I would like wave to him, and like he wouldn't say anything. He would just stand there with the hood up and just not smile, just would not move at all. And then I totally forgot about him until I watched this VHS tape, and I was like, oh my God, I remember that guy. And I actually went back when I had like all my equipment, and I got some crazy intelligent answers on that spot. You know, it was.
See, now you embraced it where I kind of like, when I was a kid, I had an invisible friend. This is long story short.
Mm-hmm.
The invisible friend turned out to be a ghost later after I met her. And I suppressed this stuff. Like, I was like, nope. I recently found a notebook with a bunch of notes in it about a shadow guy in our house that would walk around, the kid that would talk to me in the vents and stuff like that. And I was freaked out. So when we first met, I was a hardcore skeptic.
Okay.
So, cause I was like, no, this stuff's not real, cause it would freak me out. Whereas you like were like, oh no, I like the ghost people.
Well, that wasn't always true, because like when I moved into my stepdad's house, like I saw these ghosts as a young kid, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, and then I feel like I kind of quit seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would see them like randomly, and that's kind of when I moved into my stepdad's house. And when you hear them and you're seeing them in your house, not in the alleyway, you know, not walking down the street, but in your house.
Right.
It's a little different, you know, and that I was freaked out from the time I was like, I also thought there was something a little darker in that house.
Uh-huh.
That house is freaky.
I would hear like Native American chanting, and we actually went back about 6 years ago, and I brought a recorder with, and I had Elliot like follow me along the property. And I just had it rolling. There's about 20 seconds of a clip of a Native American, like, it sounds like chanting. And I was like, this is exactly what I used to hear as a kid. And so I'm wondering, you know, if the land had some Native American ties. But I used to also see a shadow figure, very dark shadow figure in that house. So there was a point where I got a little freaked out from the time I was like 8 to about when I started exploring these places. And I kind of took it head on at 12. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be scared anymore. I'm going to go walk a body shoot by myself.
Wow.
And that's kind of when I started like flipping it. And I'm like, I want to understand, why are you still here versus just like being scared? Cause yeah, I was freaked out in that house, but now, as an adult, I would love to go back to that house and ask some questions.
Now, was this house in Joliet, Illinois?
No, this was by Chicago Heights.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. So now I've got to ask, kid, did you have a haunted house experience? Did you grow up in a haunted house, or was this, did you just come about a love for the paranormal in a different way?
Ooh, well, yeah, I grew up in a pretty haunted house as a kid, and, you know, like middle Illinois, and that's very native land. Sauk Trail leads all the way through the middle of Illinois through Indiana into Michigan. But yeah, I remember being on my trampoline and like jumping to like 4 to 8 p.m. Basically, I was an outdoor kid.
Okay.
And I used to feel like people watching me through the woods. It was really a bizarre feeling, but in my gut, it was just kind of, I don't know, it was freaky. But growing up in the teens, I started getting into the paranormal community and watching the shows on YouTube and stuff like that. And I realized, like, okay, maybe it wasn't me that has this experience. And there's like a whole community that feels this way.
Mm-hmm.
So when I grew up, I was more open-minded into believing like the ghosts and like the stuff that was going on in my childhood house, because I'm more open-minded as an adult. But back then, I didn't want to really kind of embrace it because it was freaky to me. It would give me goosebumps at night and stuff. I didn't like it. But yeah, I would hear like people talking in the hallways to like just banging on the like kitchen counter at like 3 a.m. Really freaky stuff. And yeah.
Wow.
But now I'm finally open to like be like, okay, yeah, I think there's something behind that that was in my past for sure.
Yeah. Joe, did you grow up in a haunted house, or was it just something where you kind of came up with a love of the paranormal from things you had seen and heard?
So no haunted house, but this did come to mind. So my dad's house when I was a kid, the guy who lived there before him killed his wife.
Whoa.
So kind of a dark house.
Yeah, I guess, right?
I was always expecting something to happen, but nothing ever did. However, the house I'm in now, this is my folks' house that, like, my mom, my stepdad, my folks' house that I grew up in. I have heard disembodied voices in here.
Okay.
But I've never gotten, like, a haunted vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as paranormal goes, I just kind of fell into it. I was more of an alien guy, kind of. kind of growing up, and definitely more so throughout like the past like 10 years. But just kind of came into contact with Ellie and Nat, and they took me along for what turned out to be Sounds of Spirits, and I never left.
have you ever, Joe, have you ever seen anything in the sky, or have you ever seen a UFO?
I have, actually. Just really? Recently, I was in California for a wedding, and I was talking to a guy, and we both started looking up, or I started looking up, and I was like, look at that thing. There was just what looked like a shooting star, mm-hmm. but coming from the same point over and over and over again. And as soon as we started talking about it, it stopped.
Whoa, really?
So yeah, that was the most recent one. But yeah, there have been a couple times. I actually get a lot of kind of experiences with like, I mean, not a lot, but the ones that I have had have been during meditation, like experiences with like alien type beings.
I find that interesting. I've heard a lot of people have some sort of alien experience as they're meditating, or something comes into their field of vision when they're meditating.
Yes.
And that very door strange. Opens. Yeah.
Almost like a color being, and just like a little flash of like an alien here and there, like, whoa.
Now, do you see, is it like a face that you see, or is it just
sometimes a face, sometimes like a tall man doing something,
really,
you know, like okay. sometimes just like them walking, but it'll just be like a glimmer. You know, it'll just be a glimmer, and I can't make it happen.
Yeah.
It'll always surprise me and freak me out of it, you know? And, but wow. yeah, it's okay. only been a handful of times too.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. It's interesting. Very interesting yeah. indeed. Yeah. We've had guests on the show before that have said, you know, if you want to truly communicate with a being such as that from another planet, it's not hard to do. It's just a matter of getting into that mindset and then, you know, getting into a meditative state, and really they think that these aliens aren't necessarily physically coming here, that it's just a jump to the left in a portal and getting here in means other than physical. And that they really are showing up here through, what's the word I'm looking for? It's more of an ethereal way of getting here, and that they're, right. you know, they're communicating through other means. That's very interesting. Very interesting stuff, Joe.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, you know what? I think at this point, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the actual investigations themselves. And I want to figure out here how we actually incorporate the music into the investigation. Because like I was mentioning at the top of the program, when I was running wrestling events at the Mounds Theater in St. Paul, I noticed something with an energy shift. So I want to talk to you a little bit about energy shifts and how, if you do use energy shifts to try and manipulate a spirit to talk to you guys, or have, if you've ever used that to get spirits to communicate with you. So we'll cover that when we come back. And we'll also talk a little bit about some of the events you've been to. And just some of the paranormal community you've run into, and how they've reacted to some of the ways you've investigated, and how you find your style meshes with theirs. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Our guest is ACG Paranormal. You can check them out on Facebook. I know they're on Facebook. Nat, do you have a website or somewhere? Or Ethan? Or Ethan? Why did I call you Ethan?
He looks like an Ethan.
You look like an Ethan. Do you have a place where people can find you as well on the net?
So you can find us on Linktree. So you can look us up, ACGP on Linktree.
Okay.
It should have all of our stuff.
Oh, like, good. Okay. You know yeah. what? You can tell I'm getting old because I go, Linktree. Yeah, sure. Linktree. Go to Linktree. I have one on my Twitter, but I'm like, you can actually go to Linktree as a site?
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
I'm like, oh boy, am I getting old. All right, when we come back, more with ACG Paranormal, we'll talk about investigations and how music is incorporated into those investigations, and how we use energy to, and the energy of music to draw in the spirits. We'll do that when we come back here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Our guest is ACG Paranormal, and we are talking about, well, in this part of the program, we're talking about the use of music and energy and trying to draw the spirits with different types of energy and trying to get them to communicate with us. Before we jump into actual music, I want to talk to you guys about the use of communication and words and what we use for words. The one thing that gets me is an opening question. So I want to hit you with an opening question as you get into a building or as you get into a location or even into a home. And you kind of have an idea of what you're facing. You've looked at the history of a building or a home or whatever it is you're investigating. You think you know what it is you're up against. You walk into this location and you want to communicate with something. And you have to have an opening question. Now, some people have a stylized opening question. Some people think they know what question they're going to ask. And other people leave it open to whatever it is that, you know, whatever the situation may be. So we'll go around the room and we'll start with Nat. Nat, do you have an opening question you just automatically ask, or do you leave it open for the situation? What do you do?
Well, first I don't necessarily ask the question right away. I more so like introduce myself. And then honestly, the music thing, that's usually one of my favorite things to ask is like, you know, just because like I feel like if I'm going to play you music, do you have any recommendations? Let me spin something for you. You know? So yeah. I like the music question. And then I always say it's more so, you know, because going into people's homes, I wouldn't want to ask too many questions. I don't even do that with like my friends. It's kind of just like, hi, how are you? And then like anything new. So with the spirits, it's kind of the same thing where it's like, hi, I'm Nat. You know, I'm in your home for tonight. You know, it's more of me explaining why I'm there versus like straight into a question. And then I kind of just like, we're going to try to, you know, have a little fun tonight. And I'm a big music fan. So what's your favorite music or favorite music genre? So definitely the music thing for me.
I feel like I've been disrespectful for you, Elliot, and calling you different things. So I'll call you Egon. Egon, what's your, how do you
open? That's a good one.
Yeah, there you go.
So I really like asking about food. I like asking them what their favorite food is because I feel like it's a casual thing. Everybody eats. I mean, I know that ghosts can smell food because we've talked to them about it, the ones that we live with.
Okay.
Our house is haunted.
We have a boy who has requested that we make French fries and root beer floats. So we went out and sat with him in the garage and had root beer floats and French fries party with him.
Nice.
And just talked to him on the spirit box. Now he asks for ice cream constantly, but that's okay. Because I will eat ice cream constantly if he insists. I guess I'll have to get ice cream all the time.
Lactose-free
ice cream.
Well, yeah, I got to do the same thing. Yeah, I have a little problem with lactose as well. Yeah. So, okay. So, all right, kid, do you have a question you would open up with or that you like to open up with? Are you stylized or do you go with the flow?
I like Nat said, I like to introduce myself, make myself feel like I'm a friend to them instead of, you know, going in with all these big scary lights and cameras. And I like to open up and, you know, hear their side of the story. Cause you know, if I'm a ghost, I'm a talker sometimes, but I would like to talk if I'm in that realm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just feeling the vibe of it, observe everything, going room to room and feeling the certain like energy and see what I can pick up on. But yeah, nothing, no questions off the bat, but yeah, food is definitely important. I have to go with Elliot with that as well.
Yeah, most definitely. Joe, a stylized question, or are you you more going with the flow with this deal?
So I like to introduce myself as well, but I kind of like to go with the flow. I have a lot to learn, and it kind of depends on the situation. Like, If I have my guitar, I'll kind of let them know what I'm up to, you know, what I'm going to do. And, you know, maybe ask them if they have a favorite kind of music.
Okay.
But yeah, other than that, clearly just like to go with the flow, I think.
So I like the fact that you guys are automatically taking out some sort of instrument or something that kind of just, it kind of mellows out the vibe right away automatically. If I'm just a spirit hanging out in the room and I see you pull out a guitar or some sort of instrument, I'm like, oh, what's going on here? All right. You know, I mean, that automatically gets my attention, as opposed to somebody pulling out something that looks like you're going to blow up the room. And I go, well, what the hell's going on here? So that gets my attention. I like that. Or food gets my attention as well. I go, oh, fat boy over here. All right. What are we eating? So those are two good things. So then at that point, as you're getting into the investigation, are you more stylized, or is this more of just a, you know, are you kind of playing a song, or what are you doing? How does an investigation set up, Nat? How do you conduct things from there?
So it kind of depends on like where we're at. You know, there's certain investigations where, you know, I am going to plan on filming. Some I don't ever post, you know, like it all kind of depends on like what happened and how it's feeling. And so not every location that we go is going to be a YouTube video, but the last two went very smoothly. And we got some awesome,
we got amazing
responses. So it's kind of more so when we go in, we do kind of have a plan for the night, you know, just to make sure we like cover most of the building wherever we're at. But every time we go, like there's going to be something, usually like the solos. Like we were at Edinburgh Manor and I had everybody do a solo, but Joe was the only one with the guitar.
Okay.
And it was actually like his first full on investigation, because Joe's only been with us for, I want to say a little less than a year. And he came on, like you said, through Sounds of Spirits, which is the documentary that we did. And that was kind of like an introduction to like this documentary. Like, I want to keep doing them, but with different artists, you know, mm-hmm. people that have never paranormal investigated before, which was Joe. And we kind of just picked him up because he did so well. And he, you know, like what I did with him that night was like, you know, we're trying to pretty much use the guitar as our main tool. You know, we used other tools that night, but like, I really wanted to catch like more phantom music or like the ghost playing. That's kind of more of the evidence that I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
Versus just, you know, a REM pod going off, or like, for an example, we were just at Madison Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Madison Seminary's history is all about women. You know, there was widows there from the Civil War. And then the other half was, you know, hospice. And then, part of it was for the mentally ill. And what I did was I went in, did my solo with a synthesizer. That's what I play. And I actually had a spirit playing the REM pod and was trying to follow the notes that I was doing.
Really?
So like, that's kind of what I'm trying to capture. And so far it's been like working really well. You know, like the REM pod has two settings to it. It either goes do, 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 you know, as they touch it.
Right.
Or there's like, there is a music option, and we did have it on the music option. And I mean, some of it was playing the full music, but then I actually sat there and asked, I was like, do you think you could copy what I'm playing? And I started doing like do 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 do, and then it started going do 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 do, and then it would like not get that last note, or like it would play that last note like 10 seconds later. So it was pretty cool. Like, and I just honestly felt like I was hanging out with a friend, you know.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's kind of the stuff that I'm looking for. That phantom music, that's been one that I've heard with my own ears a few times, and I just kind of want to capture more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually in the documentary that we did, Joe didn't hear it at the time, but we actually caught like an instrument playing that wasn't even there. So
really?
Yeah, that's kind of more of the stuff that I'm looking for. And I mean, we did this documentary, but we're also like doing our, like, you know, just kind of laid back investigations too. The documentary Sounds of Spirits, that's just our first one. I plan on doing more, but that one is, I call it Humble Beginnings, because it's at a high school, and I wanted to connect, like, you know, where do you start off when you're a musician, battle the bands, your high school stage, And that's where Joe came in, you know. So, and I'm like, have you ever investigated before? Nope. And I kind of tied in like his personal experiences, his personal ghost stories. You know, what's a song that inspires you? Why? You know, and I asked him questions like, when you play music, do you put a piece of your soul into it? And he's like, absolutely. You know, like, so that's kind of like where I was trying to touch base with a lot of that. And you don't need to know English to connect with music. Music is universal. Everybody can understand music. You don't need to know the lyrics. There's like some Polish bands that I like, and I'm like, I don't know what they're saying, but this is a jam.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, absolutely.
So that's kind of what I'm looking for, is like, I'm trying to capture more plain music with the ghosts and phantom music and anything to do with music, really. So that's kind of my approach. And anything that we got to do, you know, that, which is pretty much bring in an instrument, and I actually left my synthesizer. I haven't watched the like footage yet, but I'm hoping maybe I got a little dink like on the synthesizer while it was gone. You know, wow. So I just kept the camera rolling just in case. So,
you know, this what intrigues me. You know, I sit and I think about over the years the amount of friends I have that are musicians that have gone and done investigations. And they've left their instruments at home, and it confuses me. They take the most talented part of themselves, and they leave it at home, and they bring themselves to an investigation. And really, the biggest part of them that's the most communicative, I'm trying to get that word out, the part of themselves that they communicate the best with, that you would think they could reach out and grab your attention with, they leave it at home. And to me, and it's the most beautiful part of themselves, you know, that they could just reach out and grab an attention of anybody, you know, living or dead. And I'm thinking of a couple of people off the top of my head. And I think to myself, well, you know, there's times where I remember one investigation in particular of a young girl who was singing in a cell at Eastern State Penitentiary and just singing to herself. And she was just trying to keep herself occupied. It was late at night. It was like 2:00 in the morning, and we're all cold and we're bored and things aren't really popping off. And she started to sing, and a spirit started to sing along with her. And that just started the activity. And there's something to be said about energy and energy starting up energy, you know, and sparking that energy. And like I had mentioned, when we were at the Mounds Theater in St. Paul, doing IWI wrestling card, it seems like it was the energy of the crowd, you know, cheering for these wrestlers, but at the same time getting, even if it was piped in music and it was people snapping along to music in between, you know, wrestling matches, or it was the introduction music for the wrestlers coming on and people were getting hyped up to it, you would start to see activity happening. And you would see things like lights going on and off on their own, or just weird things happening, you know, and it was just the coolest thing. And I always thought to myself, why aren't we using this? Why, you know, why aren't groups using this? And so I thought it was just so cool when I come across your guys's page and you're actively using it. You know, it just, to me, just seems like a slam dunk. But why is it? And I want to ask Elliot, I want to ask you this. Why is it that more groups haven't brought it full force into the field? Is it the fact that it just takes too much time to set up?
It is a lot of, I feel like it's a lot of things that can go wrong too. And I feel like one thing in the community that I would really like to see change is, I feel like a lot of people are going in locations to entertain themselves or their viewers. Whereas we feel like we're going in the locations to entertain the spirits.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm going there. A lot of my devices have sound reactive lights in them, and I try to make them look fun. And we try to dance at places. We at Indiana State, we had a like conga line going on.
It was the cha-cha slide.
We had the cha-cha slide going on.
A public event. And like, they were like, you know, they love Madonna. And I'm like, okay, what do you guys want to listen to now? And they said electric. So I'm like, how about the Cha-Cha Slide? So we had like a group of people literally at the end of the Cha-Cha Slide, and like everything was like done and quiet. All the lights, like
all our sensors were going off.
Every hallway.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It was just, like,
I feel like if someone came in my house and just yelled, "What's your name? How did you die?" I'd be like, dude, I don't want to do this. Like, yeah. But if you come in my house and you start dancing, I'm going to get up and dance with you. I'm going to be like, oh, what's going on over here?
Yep.
So I think it's really a viewpoint thing, as in a lot of people, like I said, are not going in to entertain the spirits. And that's what I want to do. I want to go have fun with them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I'm going to ask kind of a weird question here. Don't take it the wrong way. But, you know, we talk a lot about haunted objects in the field. And we're bringing in, when it comes to musical instruments or things associated with musical instruments, you're talking about an object with a lot of power, a lot of energy, and something that can be, you channel your energy through and a lot of your creative energy through. And then you're asking a spirit to channel its creative energy through, and you don't know what the intention of that spirit is. Do you worry at times that maybe you're asking something malevolent to play along with you, and maybe that it might try and channel itself through to you?
So we have come across things that are unwanted when traveling. I call them not ghosts usually.
Okay.
Because they're meaner, and they don't seem to function with us like normal spirits do.
Sure.
But for the most part, I feel like when you go in with good intentions and you say, I'm here to have fun, it confuses the mean spirits. Because when they're sitting there insulting you and you're like, no, dance time, I think they don't want to deal with that. Because mm-hmm. you're not the person that's going to get scared and run away. So it's not what they want to deal with anyway. So they probably don't want to be around you.
We do get a little freaked out here and there. Not
there are, okay. There are some right. places that freak me out.
Yeah. And then you kind of, yeah. Yes, there is that energy shift where you're like, okay, you know, we're here to, you know, get answers, to have, you know,
yeah.
we're not here to be rude or anything. I know we're in like your space. We're quite clear with the spirits, like what our intentions are, why we are there. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to show yourself if you don't want to.
Yeah, we're not here to exploit you in any way. We're just here to talk with
completely
you.
Completely up to you.
See what's going on.
Yeah, and so we have had some
interactions. Yeah, there's been a couple interactions that are bad. But for the most part, well, we haven't had anything where, well, we've had a couple that are creepy, but like for the most part, we don't deal with like very mean spirits, and we kind of mm-hmm. shut them down pretty fast. If they start like threatening us yeah. and stuff, we're just like, no, we're not doing that. We're not here for that.
It's kind of the same with like a person when, you know, a person's getting yeah. kind of like bullying attitude. Yeah. You're just yeah. like, excuse me. No.
So it's kind of,
you just put yourself, you're put down, you know, so
it's kind of the turd in the punch bowl at your party. You're just not.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just
like,
not putting up with
dude,
it.
You're out, man. Like,
but yeah. devices definitely can hold energy. I like building spirit boxes out of most of my spirit boxes. I let them come to me. So mm-hmm. I find them places and just random things, and like ones from hospice or like retirement homes. A lot of those,
okay,
they have certain energy to them. We'll get certain voices just through those ones.
Okay,
so there's definitely attachments to objects.
Yeah,
like my grandpa loved his radio. Every time I go to my grandma's house, constant radio was on. When he passed, I actually took his radio. We're going to be making a spirit box out of it.
Because
my grandpa was kind of the only one in my family that really was like, oh, you see ghosts? Yeah, I believe in those too. And I'm like, okay, yay, I'm not alone. You yeah. know? So, yeah.
So let me ask you, Nat, do you think when you build this spirit box out of grandpa's radio, do you think grandpa will come through more often? Do you think he'll come visit you through that?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I still, his, like my grandparents' house is being rented out, and the people that are in it right now, they've been seeing my grandpa around. So
okay.
I know he's hanging out.
Okay. So are you looking forward to that communication, being able to talk to him?
Yeah, I don't think it's, I think he's going to be too talkative.
You're never going to be able to shut it off.
I definitely got the gift to talk.
Oh,
well, him, so.
Well, there you go. I'm a little jealous, I guess, because I, you know, when my mother's father first passed, it used to be every time I went past a psychic, he would go up to the psychic and be like, oh, hey, I'm over here. But then after a while, when they know that you don't necessarily need them as much anymore, they tend to fade away, right? So he doesn't really come around anymore. My dad's father, I still haven't heard from him, and he passed away, gosh, probably 6-7 years ago, so I still haven't heard from him. So enjoy it while he's around, because he won't stay around forever.
I think
forever.
He's waiting for my grandma.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's like a, you know, my grandma's still around. She's still sticking in and strong. She's doing pretty good. But my dad's mom and dad, like, I definitely think my papa and my Mimi just passed in February. I definitely think papa was sticking around for her.
Yeah.
And that now I think they're good. You know, yeah. They know we're all okay. So
yeah,
I'm okay with them going wherever they got to go.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So let me ask you this. Now, when you get to the end of this party or investigation, I like to think of it as a party because it seems like you guys are having a great time with this.
Yeah.
You've got to come to a point where you've got to shut things down or kind of bring the energy down a little bit or get the spirits to settle down. How does that happen? How do you get them to tone down a little bit? Because if I'm a spirit, I kind of want to follow you guys home. I mean, you're having a great time.
I mean, that's happened before.
You know, I mean, how do you get them to you know, say, hey, guys, I mean, it's been real, but and it's been real fun, but you aren't going to come home with us. How do you get them toned down?
There's been a couple times where they kind of, you know, are like, yeah, we're done.
They're usually like, okay, it's time for bed.
Yeah, like they're really into it when we first begin, and they're like, you kind of get that, like, that was fun, guy. Yeah, at the end of a party, like, where, you know, everybody's like, okay, cool, got to start cleaning up, you know, the beer bottles or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the same feeling, like, you know, we get less interactions. And, you know, with every investigation, I'm pretty much, you know, like, thank you so much for talking with us. You know, I hope to come back here. If not, you know, thank you for telling us your story. And I mean, a lot of stuff, you know, comes with reviewing. And I try to review as much as I possibly can. That's like, I mean, we put out content, but we don't put it out as much as these other YouTubers because, like, I literally watch every second of every camera, and I make sure, you know, it's all covered, and it's a lot. It's a lot. So I definitely think that at the end of the night we kind of are just like, we had an excellent time with you guys, and it's kind of the same feeling that you get when you go to like these paracons, you know, like we went to the Parapsychon last year, and mm-hmm. like it was kind of the same feeling, like, oh, I think it's like 6 o'clock rolling around, time to start saying our goodbyes. And we do the same. It's kind of like we treat the spirits exactly how we treat people. Like I start, you know, giving everybody a hug and mm-hmm. saying like, it was so nice seeing you again. And it's kind of the same thing with the ghosts. Like, it's like, it's so nice being here again. Or if like, I don't get the chance to come back here, thank you so much, you know, like for letting us be here, you know? So we do that every investigation. If it's an overnight, we do it in the morning time, you know, just to say our goodbyes. But mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah, it's very
I have an interest
just shutting everything down.
I don't know why this hit me at this particular moment, but I have this question to ask, and that's this. I know that there's the party atmosphere and the feeling that the party is wrapping up, but I want to hit you from another 180 degree turn here. And when you're doing stuff like asylums, or you're doing a jail, or you're doing something where there's not necessarily a positive atmosphere, and that's this. I'm getting that look from Elliot. He's like, uh-oh. And that's this. As a musician, there's times where you're intuitive with your crowd, and you're reading the crowd, and maybe they don't want to hear something necessarily upbeat, and maybe they want to hear the blues, maybe they want to hear something sad.
Monroe House, that was not a normal investigation because.
Yeah, that Monroe House is a whole
lot. That's a not ghost.
So do you play to your crowd first of all? Do you maybe you take out the guitar? You're playing the blues. Maybe you're playing something sadder.
I was actually gonna touch on that. So for me, like especially at Madison, you know, this was only like 2 weeks ago, a week ago. I was playing what I was feeling, and actually at one point, you know, the spirit was having a good time with me. And I feel like I started kind of picking up on some of the sadness that was there at Madison. And it really started to get me. And I actually stopped and I was like, I'm sorry. Cause I was slamming on my synthesizer at one point. Cause I was definitely feeling like a mix of emotion. Like there was the spirit that was obviously having fun with me playing with the REM pod. But I feel like I was also picking up on the spirits that, you know, yeah, very sad times, you know, like, and it kind of, I started playing my mood and like what I was feeling like through the synthesizer. Okay. And then I stopped and I was like, I'm sorry for the spirit that was just here, you know, having fun with me. I started picking up on like on another spirit, and I felt like I was just playing what I was feeling, you know, mm-hmm. And so I kind of like switched it back up. And you know, it's like one of those things where you want to, same thing with party. You want to go talk to your friend Jessica, but at the same time, your friend David is over here. You got to make sure you're, you know, kind of spending time with each spirit. One spirit might be wanting to play music, the other one, not so much. So I do try to kind of, you know, make sure I'm hitting everybody and
I feel like
explaining what I'm doing.
Good example of that is Indiana State. So like when we're in the retirement home section, like it's more fun. They want to listen to Madonna. But when we go over that five story, there's not music playing. It's yeah. not, that's not really a party atmosphere over there, especially the fifth floor. It's more of an intimidating atmosphere where we are dealing with a little bit more upset spirits. Mm-hmm. It's not the same like party people.
And normally like with the five story, we try to play, like I have played Johnny Cash for them.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's kind of like more so one song. And then I'm like, I hope you guys enjoyed that for the spirits that would like to it, you know, like Johnny Cash. I hope this is just a little gift from me to you guys. And then if like the energy is just like, you know, not feeling too up, then I'm kind of like, thank you, but we're going to continue on, you know.
Okay.
You kind of have to like know your environment, feel it a little bit. And yeah, there has been times like even Madison before we started playing music, I kind of had to step back for a second because, you know, I was really feeling like some of the negative things that have happened there. And I was like, later, we're going to try to shift this energy and give you guys something that's, you know, not as depressing, you know, because I like to think with spirits, their death was such a small part of their life. And I want to know more so of like their life versus the part where it wasn't so good, you know, so I want to know what they like. Did they like, you know, painting? Did they like horses? I, you know, like who were you versus yeah. just like you died from tuberculosis. I already know that, you know, right. Like I know that from history, but who were you? So that's kind of the more of what we're trying to do too. And these people were all people at one point, you know, like, and they liked things other than being in an asylum, you know,
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
So.
And if push comes to shove and nothing else works, you can always Rickroll them.
I mean,
no, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Although, have you ever tried that? No. Okay.
Yeah, we will.
I say leave that for kid to do when he has something.
Yeah, right.
Push comes to shove, just throw kid in there with a tape of Rick Astley. A tape, like they still use those.
A tape.
Do you have a cassette player, by the way, kid, that you could use?
Actually, I think I do somewhere laying around. But that's actually not a bad idea because if you fit with that time, I mean, like 1970s, yeah, they would know what a tape recorder is. Sometimes we just use a stereo and they're kind of probably lost about what that is. But
play some Bee Gees, let them get down. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm down for that.
I've totally brought this to a halt. Yes, I have. So with the investigations now, I want to bring us down to some of your more interesting investigations and some of the EVP that you brought along on tonight's episode, and kind of go through some of the more frightening, scarier episodes you've had, I guess, that are some of the more scarier moments you've had as a group, as we tend to do on this program. Nat, you've been so kind as to, and Elliot, you've been so kind as to send along some EVP. So what are we about to talk about here? You've got some different cases that you've been on, and we're going to talk about this first case here. What happened with this?
So that was at my favorite cemetery of all time, Fairmount Cemetery in Willow Springs, Illinois. It's along Archer Avenue. Now, if you are from Chicagoland, Archer Avenue is where we see Our Lady in White's Resurrection Mary, our hitchhiker.
Ah.
Archer Avenue has so many stories behind it. It has ties to Al Capone, has murders. One was at Fairmount. I believe she was a preteen, like a younger girl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also have caught like EVPs of a girl there, but this was the first time that I used a spirit box. You know, growing up, like I didn't have the equipment when I was, you know, 12. I had a good old digital recorder and, you know, my little camcorder, and that was about it. So as I got older, I started investing in, you know, spirit boxes, EMF detectors, all that good stuff. And, this was the first time that I really brought it out, and right away, you know, I turned it on, and it sounds like kind of an older lady with like spirit being like, "Go away!" Like I'm just like, "Wait!" And I was so in shock that the spirit box was actually working. I'm like, "Is this happening right now?" Like I'm like, "Is this, am I talking to a ghost right now?" Like this is. But ever since then, I was hooked on spirit boxes. So, yeah, that's Fairmount definitely has had some crazy stuff. I saw my first skinwalker at Fairmount Cemetery.
Really?
It's a very woodsy cemetery. Yeah. Yes. And, wow. Another place that has Native American ties to it. It's literally called the Stretch of Death because there are so many deaths that happen along that road because it's, you know, woodsy.
There's a lot of bars.
Yeah. So there's in one spot particular, which is about diagonal from Fairmount. There's about 30 crosses, and this is just with like, you know, this year. I can only imagine how many other crosses have been, you know, in the last like 100 years on this road. So a lot of spooky stuff going on along there.
Yeah. There's also one of the first nuclear reactors buried in the woods right near there.
Really?
So I think that has a lot to do with the activity. Yeah.
Okay, that's just a mixture for zombies right there. I mean,
there's limestone quarries. So
yeah,
it's just crazy. It's a mixture of everything paranormal.
The limestone that built the Joliet Prison is from that quarry.
Really?
The water tower in downtown Chicago is from that quarry. St. James Sag, which is like the beginning kind of Archer where the hauntings begin, that's built from there. A lot of people passed away in that quarry as well. So there's a lot going on with the furniture.
It's like the perfect paranormal soup over there. So let's listen to that EVP right now, if we will. Here it is right now.
Get away. Who wants me to get away? You do?
All right, so you have that EVP there from that case. Now, the second case that you're bringing on board here has to do with what location?
So this is at Ashmore Estates. We were just driving through, and I knew Ashmore for a long time. I always wanted to see it. And we were coming up from Tennessee, and Elliot at the time was still a skeptic. And he wound up hearing heard a disembodied voice. Now I am playing the spirit box, but in this like the I didn't hear anything come through the spirit box. So but Elliot heard like a straight up like girl. Like,
yeah, it wasn't through the it was like standing
a little,
next to
like
me.
A little baby doll voice. And I was like, he asked me, he's like, "Did you say anything?" And I was like, "Yeah, I said hello." And he's like, "No, after you said hello." And I'm like, no, you know, so when I came home and reviewed it, it's right there. You know, we can't really make out 100% what she's saying, but, I'm hearing that she's saying I'm lost, but very, you know, like a little girl, like I'm lost. Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm hearing, but other people have heard other things, but there's, either way, there's definitely a little girl's voice that's there, a little baby doll voice.
Okay, first of all, let's go ahead and play it. Second of all, you were a skeptic, now you're a believer, Elliot?
So I was a hardcore skeptic, and I would take apart all of her devices and re-solder them and check that there wasn't anything in there triggering them. Okay. And all sorts of stuff to prove her wrong. But I can't be mean to a little kid ghost.
Yeah, that's, you can't. Not nice, yeah. So. Yeah, you can't do that. Okay, here's that EVP right now.
Hello? Yeah, I can hear you. No.
Interesting. I hear it.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. And so
yeah, that one was weird.
They can hear like mama, you know, so there's been a couple different things that people have heard, but there's definitely like this like little girl voice.
There was a little girl voice right next to me, and that was like, okay, well, I can't be like trying to be like, no, you're making this up, or no, this isn't working right. Cause like that little kid decided to come and talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I should start making things for them to have fun with. So I started just making random stuff for them.
Oh, I tell you, it's an interesting EVP. That's for sure. You can't deny that there's a little girl there. That's for sure.
And we're in the middle of a field. Yeah. We're the only people there.
We're the only ones there. And
that's bizarre.
Robin, the owner, did confirm with me that like afterwards I was like, you know, I messaged him and I was like, I think we caught a little girl. He did say a little girl died on the property right before her 5th birthday. Her dress caught on fire on the 3rd floor. So
wow.
And there was, you know, there's that historic piece of like evidence that there was, you know, a small child there. So I thought that was very, like, we gotta go back and investigate this place, which we still haven't been to during the night. But yeah. Robin said that during the daytime it's actually pretty active, so that's when we were there.
Now, so, do you find, cool. have you done a lot of daytime than nighttime investigations with lot of different places? Yeah. Do you find there's a difference between day and night with spirits, or is there no difference?
I think they're more active during the day.
So it depends on the spirits. A lot of times during the day, it'll be people that kept a daytime schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at night, you get more like chaotic or creative types, you know, people that would stay up. Like, I actually connect with a lot of janitors and like maintenance type spirits. That's like my only ability is maintenance spirits.
He's like, there's a maintenance guy here.
But they're usually up at night or more chaotic. Like if you're in an asylum, the more chaotic patients are up at night.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's definitely like the setting too. So if you go to like a nursing home, the daytime is more, you know, everybody's awake during that time. Then at nighttime, everyone usually goes to sleep. But usually at like, you know, jails, sometimes they're awake, or morning they're up, or vice versa. So depends on the setting. I'd have to add to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. And that's something I'm, just starting to learn too, is I didn't know ghosts went to sleep, but there's definitely like when you ask how do you guys kind of tame down the activity, I was thinking most times I've been around it's just tamed down naturally and we're all like, well, it's time for bed. So
well, yeah, it seems like you get different, well, at least to me it seems like sometimes you get different activity at different times of the day, or you're getting different spirits at different times of the day. I've had different locations where it seems like they tend to be a little more active in the day than they are at night. And I don't know why that is. I don't get why that is, but
I definitely think they keep their schedule.
We've had them yell at us to go to bed.
We've had an old lady go at like 9 PM go tired.
And she started setting off all our devices. And then when I was like, oh, I think she wants the spirit box on. And I turned the spirit box on, shut everything off, and she just started yelling tired. And I'm like, okay, time to shut everything off. She's sick of the flashing lights.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is, well, 9 p.m. is pretty darn early to be going to bed, that's for sure. But I suppose that's late for an old lady.
Yeah.
I think my grandma kind of hits the hay at 8:30 these days. So
yeah, that's for sure. Well, early bird dinner was at 4, so, you know, I mean, that's... That's pretty darn late. The next EVP you have is from where?
That is from the Cheney Mansion in Jerseyville, Illinois. That is an old stage line. So it used to be kind of like a small hotel. And then later on, the owner, P.D. Cheney,
he's crazy. He would fire his cannon off of the balcony of the place.
You ever see like Mary Poppins? It reminded me of that, like the guy that's like up on the roof, you know.
He seems like he was fun.
But yeah, he also was known to drink a little bit, so he actually had two rooms. He had like his normal master bedroom, and then he had the room that was next to his nurse's room. So I left a digital recorder in there, and it was me and one other teammate, you know, and we were on the other side of the house, and you know, we were just sitting there quiet, just, you know, if we could hear anything, and nothing. But when I went to go review the footage and the digital recorder, it sounds like this. I mean, and down in Southern Illinois, they do have like an accent, and we caught this woman. To me, it sounds like she's either saying, I checked him, like, Petey, like, did he drink too much? Is he okay? Mm-hmm. Or I checked in, like, saying, like, I checked into the stage line, and I'm here for the night, you know? So either one, and it's definitely, there's definitely a Southern, I don't have a Southern accent, so. And I know we weren't talking at the time, so it's pretty cool.
Okay. Well, let's play that EVP now, and let's hear it. Here it goes. Very interesting indeed. I checked in. I hear I checked in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I definitely hear it plain as day. I checked in.
So. It's with a weird accent. Like, yeah. Like it's definitely like it's not weird, but like not anything that any of us like the accents we have.
Right. Right.
So it's a interesting one.
Yeah, but it's definitely I checked in. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing there. So, yeah. Very good. Wow. You guys have some good EVPs here. That's for sure. So the next case is from where?
The Monroe House.
Oh, you did put Monroe House in there.
I put the girl that says go away.
Oh, yeah. You put the little bit calmer Monroe House. So.
Yeah. So we left a digital recorder up in the second floor, and we were on the other side of the house. Same kind of thing, you know, we're just seeing if we could capture anything. And there's a moment where it's like someone came upstairs, sets a motion light off. Mm-hmm. And then there's like this young female, you know, to me, it kind of reminds me of like a teenager being like, "Mom, go away." But like, I think she was saying whatever came upstairs with her, like, go away. And like, just like that. And, you know, same thing. And it was so cool that we actually caught the motion sensor like going off with, and then like 10 seconds later, this EVP happened. So I thought it was kind of cool, you know, not just getting an EVP, but something else with it.
Yeah.
I love multi-sensor things.
Yeah. When you get more than one, you know, gift in one setting, like it's very right. compelling. But yeah, the Monroe House is, I want to say, out of all the locations we've been to, that one I think terrifies all of us.
Took apart one of our cameras. Uh-huh. And I can't put it back together. So
really?
Kid's gloves. He put his gloves down on a table, and his glove. He looked away, looked back. His gloves were on the other side of the table.
Really?
Like, yeah. That
did. What was your reaction to that, kid?
I didn't know. I put it down for 1 second, turned around, looked the other way, looked back. It was on the other side of the table, and that was my first overnight too. So I was just completely mind blown by that. Didn't know what was happening.
So
the whole night was pretty wild.
So at that point, when your gloves are on the other side of the, you know, on the other side of the room, almost, are you thinking, well, I'm in for an interesting night, or are you wanting to back out, or what's going through your head at that point?
That was the morning after.
Oh, and so the morning after. Okay.
Yeah. So it was this hectic night, and then that happened. I was just tired and just not really too surprised at the moment because I didn't get much sleep, but going back and looking at him, just like, ugh, that's
yeah,
wild.
After everything that happened, that was like one of the least shocking things.
Wow.
I was kind of irritated. I was like, I just want my gloves. I'm cold.
You're like, quit being a bully and give me my gloves.
Stop it. Well,
whatever was there, actually, so it was in the middle of January, too, and we had
it was so cold.
A little heater in our room. Something physically, like, in the middle of the night, turned the heater, we had it blasting, so turned it all the way down. We woke up, like, freezing cold.
Oh, wow.
And we're just like, why is it so cold in here? And it's a knob heater, and we looked, and it was, like, all the way down. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what's wrong with you, Spirit? But I definitely think, you know, like, I don't think a lot of places have the D word, but if it's any place that's going to have the D
word. The not ghost.
Yeah.
The not ghost.
The not ghost.
Okay.
It's the Monroe House.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. We had a, at the Mounds Theater, we had a, I don't know if it's a ghost or what the D word you were talking about. But it took and it turned, it was a malevolent ghost, I guess you could say. We were selling pizza slices, and we had one of those four rack ovens, warming ovens. And we were all out of pizza before we even got to intermission. I mean, it just sold out, and we had got it from a local pizza parlor, and it was gone out before intermission. And I'm in the ring, and I'm ring announcing, and I'm telling people, you know, we're out of pizza, but we still have hot dogs left. We still have the bar. There's plenty of beer, wine, everything back at the back bar. And I'm getting to the fact that, you know, the boys are out, they're signing autographs, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, ding, light is on in the pizza oven. And I look back and I'm like, do we have more pizza? I'm like mouthing it to the person who's selling pizza. And she shakes her head. No, this thing just came on by itself. So, and she says that's she watched cool. The dial turn itself back on. She sat and watched it spin itself back on.
That's cool.
And again, that's that energy that would happen. You know, the boys would tear down the ring as they were tearing down the ring after the show. They would feel somebody come up and tap them on the shoulder as they're carrying out these huge, heavy lumber boards for the ring, and they turn around and there's nobody there.
That's so cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I can see that happening at wrestling events because the energy in the building, once you hear that music and you see your favorite superstar go through the curtain and whatever, the whole crowd gets crazy.
Yeah.
And at nighttime, I'm sure the ghost.
Kid's a fan of wrestling.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. Yeah. And we would use in the theater, we would use their green room. So, and supposedly in the projection room, it used to be a combination movie theater and actual, you know, stage theater. There's a stage. So the boys would come up out of the green room and they'd walk up a ramp. And then there was a curtain. It was curtained off. The ramp was, then they come up onto the stage and then they come off the stage into the ring. So the ring was butted up against the stage. And then we had a screen that we would show their entrance videos on. So when they would come off the stage into the ring, I mean, they've got music blaring, they've got their entrance video. I mean, it was a whole production. So the crowd is all hyped up and everything. And it was just this big production, this big to do. And, you know, you've got 250, 300 people in there and they're going nuts. And it, you know, and the theater went back to, I want to say it was 1910. It was a pretty old theater. Cool.
And again, it's an entertaining thing. So if you were a ghost and you could just wander around anywhere, you wouldn't sit in a, like, in someone's living room for the most part. You'd probably go watch something and then go home, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you want to go somewhere fun.
Yeah, exactly.
I could see, like, past wrestlers or entertainers sticking around there, you know?
Sure.
It's like a home away from home.
Yeah. And even the projection room upstairs was haunted, supposedly by an old projectionist. So, a lot of the boys wanted to go upstairs after the wrestling matches because they wanted to see if they could get Red, supposedly was the projectionist. They wanted to see if they could meet Red. I don't know. I never wanted to go up there, but, you know, that's beyond me. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of people had experiences working in that theater. But again, it was after the match that you would get those experiences because that energy level was so high in that building that, you know, it just amped everything up. And again, it's, you know, it was that experiment with energy that was so so fun. You know, I looked forward to every month because the more energy you would get out of the crowd, the better the card you put on, the more energy you got, and the more active the building got. So you would actually start to see things happening, and it was really cool. Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The next case. I'm sorry. We were talking about.
I don't think we played the Monroe House one.
No, we didn't. Okay. So the EVP from Monroe House. Here we go. Here it is right now. Oh wow! So that one just says "Go away."
I heard that.
And that's clear as day. Wow.
And the weird thing is that it triggers that motion sensor box that I built.
Yeah.
Like right before it.
And that thing is like you have to like literally like go, like Elliot builds our tech like where it's not so like sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like you literally have to like be like inches away from whatever to sense.
Well, especially for like tighter locations, mm-hmm. it's a little better to have it less sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good that you don't have it, real sensitive. Cause I mean, it's tough when some of those sensors are real, real sensitive, it's, and everything's going off on a hair trigger. It's tough to tell whether
it's harder to debunk everything if you got it too sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. Our last case is from where?
Indiana State Sanatorium.
Uh-huh.
And that's like my favorite location. So this is actually the first time we were there. We had a guest investigator named Charisse, and it was me, my team, and Charisse and I were the only people that heard this like laugh. And you don't really hear it like in the whole clip, where I'm like talking about, okay, we're going to the 5-story. And then all of a sudden our walkie actually went out to open air. Like, and then I turn around and I say, "What the hell, mate?" And all of a sudden, like me and her heard this like really creepy, like, and like at first I couldn't hear it on the first recording, but I had 7 cameras rolling. I caught it on every camera, but the last camera that I had rolling, that one caught it the loudest. So that's the one that I use. And creepy. It's a creepy laugh. But we're knowing the place like I do now, once again, I think it was just a spirit
it's
trying
the
to
guy.
Have fun.
There's a spirit there that loves to mess with our walkie-talkies.
Oh.
And he will these walkie-talkies don't even do open air. They're like cheap walkie-talkies. They don't have a button for it.
Okay.
And he'll make it go open air. And I'm like, how are you doing this?
And
then he'll start laughing. And it's like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing. Or if we separate during different parts of investigations, he'll start making them go open air so we'll go near each other. It's really weird.
We actually caught a laugh. Like the second time I didn't hear it, but it was same thing. My walkie started going open air. His did. And then when we like met up together, we actually caught another laugh and another clip. And it's just like the same laugh, but it just goes... So it's obviously creepy. Like the same spirit messing with him. He was following us throughout that whole location. And
well, we investigated with a former nurse there, and she confirmed that there was a patient there that was like a trickster, and he loved just pulling little pranks on people.
Yeah, and there's I have a night vision cam where I'm like turning. And Elliot was wearing a backpack at the time, and there's a little part of where I'm turning, you can see the strap of the backpack, like as if someone's like yanking on it, going like this.
Really?
And then Indiana State is definitely
crazy.
Intense.
That place is great.
But I think people are going in there kind of the wrong thing, you know, like where they're coming in and they're like, "Are you the D word?" And they're just like, "No, I'm just here to have a good time." And like every time we have fun with the, especially the nursing home, we get like some crazy evidence. So,
well, yeah, now you guys are going back there now, right? In August,
we have a con that we're doing. So if you guys want to meet us, who's ever listening, ISS Con is happening August 19th. So we will be there, and that's kind of like our baby. We have a documentary out on Tubi TV of Indiana State. we just love the location. You know, by now we kind of know the spirits kind of know us. So, and then we also volunteer to do tour guides there in the fall. So,
okay,
as tour guides. So,
all right. So people want to, and they can go to your Facebook page, obviously. And then also you have another web
link. Linktree.
Of course. How did I forget Linktree? I only have it on my Twitter. I don't know how else to access it, but I'm old. Right, Joe? I'm old.
I'm old, too.
Yeah, you're old, too.
I'm old, too.
Right. So this fifth one is the creepy laugh, right?
Yes. Right. And you won't hear it, like, while I'm talking. I'm just like, okay, we're going to this five story, and then I'm like, what the hell, mate? And then, like, it's there, but you won't be able to hear it, but then I put it at the end where you can hear it, and it's pretty freaking clear.
Here we go. Here's that creepy laugh right now.
You guys are staying here by your, what the hell, mate?
We'll be back.
Did you hear that guy? Did you hear?
The hell, mate.
Yeah, jeez. There it is. Yeah.
Very like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's exactly how it was.
Weird.
And like she, my guest investigator for the night, she actually winds up, and I cut it out of there. She goes, shut up. And because she heard it. I looked at her. She looked at me. And we're just like, you know.
We were all just like on edge that I had to sweep the building to make sure there weren't people in there. We were hearing doors slam. So I always say one of my favorite EVPs doesn't exist, because we had seven cameras going,
mm-hmm.
and you could see on video, we all stopped and we all pointed.
Okay.
And cause we heard a door just slam like super loud. Like it sounded like someone had kicked a door shut, and it's not on any of the recordings. Oh. And there, no recording picked it up.
Like I don't even know, like residual in our heads. Like it was weird.
So this is the first time we went there. We were one of the first teams in there. Like we were like five or six or four or something like that.
Well, I believe it was like Nick Roth, Destination Fear / Project Fear.
Resident Undead.
And then I believe we were like the fourth team in there. So it was like pretty fresh.
Wow.
There might've been one or two other, but like we were like one of the first.
It was chaos. The spirits were like just super active.
That was the most disembodied voices I think we've ever captured. And we also caught a visual piece of evidence where mm-hmm. part of the wall, there's like, you know, it's like plaster. And at first I thought it was like a t-shirt that like a wet t-shirt that fell off the shelf. Cause I couldn't like, you know, I went to go try to debunk it and I couldn't see anything.
We heard a loud bang on the floor.
And it was like, you hear footsteps, and I actually go like, whoa. And then all of a sudden, like I caught it on the corner of my camera, but you see this piece of wall go up like at a 90 degree angle and get thrown to the middle of the floor.
Whoa.
And that was the same night too. Yeah. Like that.
We tried to recreate that and we couldn't.
I went and tried to lift the plaster. I'm like, this, whatever this was, literally had to grabbed onto the blaster to throw this.
Yeah, with a lot of force thrown to the ground.
Yeah, there was like no wind because there was caution tape above it, and you would have seen like the caution tape like moving. It was crazy. I don't know how else to explain it, but it was cool.
So people that choose to go with you in August over at Indiana State are going to have a interesting time, to say the least.
Yeah, that's a good place.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Aren't you representing it, kid? Your shirt?
Yeah, kid.
Oh, look at you. Okay. Kid's got the Indiana State Sanatorium shirt on. Huh.
Shout out to them.
I guess, yeah. It's too bad I don't have video running. I was going to say. I should have had video running for today. I'm cheating our listeners out of that. I'm a screw up. You got me wanting to come out to the ISS event just to see
come
all
out.
That stuff.
Come out.
Yeah, come on out.
It's
man.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It's I'm telling you that you know, up until you guys had talked about it, I was like a little bit familiar with it, but I didn't know everything that had gone on there. So
the cool thing about ISS is ISS itself is huge. It's 500 acres.
Well, with the
barn.
With the dairy barn, yeah.
And then down the street, there's Billy Creek.
Yeah.
Which is like a 5-minute drive, and that place is amazing too.
It's pretty much like a whole, like, not just like, you know, ghost town. You think like Wild West, it's literally a town like of ghosts. Like, because you have like hundreds of acres of haunted, like Billy Creek's haunted. We investigated there.
Yeah, that place is really interesting.
I caught a ghost horse EVP. Like,
really?
Yeah.
That was freaky.
So I was thinking about putting that in tonight, but I was like, oh, should I? And I went with those instead, but I had three cameras rolling. Elliot had his, I had mine, and then I had the 4K, and the 4K like hears at different frequencies and or records at different frequencies, and my first camera didn't catch it. Elliot's camera didn't catch it, but it was, I literally thought I was going to get trampled because I actually jumped.
Yeah, I thought, and something was like,
you could see like
a deer or something.
You could see like the gravel getting kicked up and everything.
Yeah.
But it sounded like Paul Revere like came around the corner, you know, like, and but my 4K caught it, and it sounds like trotting. Like you get like this like 2 seconds of like, and then it just goes off.
Wow.
But and there was nothing there, you know, like
and it was like right.
I had the
in
camera
front of
going
us.
This way. So if it was a deer, it would have, you know, caught on camera, yeah, running away. It went. So it was like there was me, there was Elliot, like, and then it went past like me and Elliot. So like Elliot would have for sure saw it, you know, if it was going the opposite direction, like just me probably wouldn't have been able to see it. But like it went into the direction where we were heading.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy stuff.
That is crazy.
So
most definitely.
Definitely both haunted places.
Most definitely. I got to ask you guys here as we're getting close to time to wrap up here. We talked with Joe a little bit in the beginning of the program about aliens, a little bit about aliens. Have you stretched out a little bit or thought about stretching out a little bit to contact aliens or contact other life?
ISS, we've been seeing spotlights.
Okay.
Ooh. We've had multiple people see them, and they are like, they're like a floodlight in front of the 5-story.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened 3 times now.
I saw it. We had a guest investigator saw it, and then we had one of the managers, his mom, she's an older lady. She did her solo on the second floor. I was very proud of her. She's
a good investigator.
She saw these lights too. She's like, you know, I thought someone was shining a flashlight, and I was like, you seen it? I seen that too. And then like this third person saw it, you know, and it's just like, okay, so I think ISS might possibly have aliens, you know, like, because
really?
There's also caves underneath ISS. So who knows, like, what, you know, is it like, once again, like, is it an elemental? Is it an alien? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't really know 100% what we're messing with at ISS. We do know there are some spirits, you know, I've gotten names. I've gotten a whistler, and it was kind of cool when we did bring in the nurse. I didn't even tell her about the spirit. I was like, was there anyone here in particular that had like, you know, wouldn't talk, did something, you know, and she kind of went down this list and she got to one. And she's like, there was a woman that had autism. She did not speak, but she whistled. And okay. She did pass away. And I was like, let me guess, it was down that hallway. And she's like, how did you know? And I was like, because every time I've been here, I've caught a whistle on camera down that hallway. And she's like, wow. Like, she was, yeah. So there are your ghosts.
But yeah, we've dealt with some aliens. I've dealt with aliens before, like driving on Archer Avenue one time. I was in my friend's car and the radio just started talking in like crazy voices on every station.
Okay.
And it was like alien language or something, and no matter what we would tune it to, it was like picking up something really weird. So, and we've seen aliens downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
What we think are UFOs.
Yeah, my dad was in a high rise for a year or two there, and like we just saw these three like in a triangle just hanging out, and we're like, what are those? And all of a sudden they just shot out, like just gone, you know. So that's definitely, think those were UFOs. But if we did tap into aliens, Joe would be the guy that
I would be willing to do alien stuff Probably not cryptid stuff, because that freaks me out.
That was my next question.
I saw a skinwalker. I don't want that.
I saw a Wendigo, and I don't want to ever have that happen again.
Where did you see a Wendigo, Elliot?
On the street in front of my house.
Really?
I think it was like 4:30 in the morning. This giant, like, shredded and put back together deer thing. It looked like a moose-sized deer, shredded and put back together, ran up the street, and I was at a car at the stop sign, like at the corner near my house, and it ran past. I was just like, whatever direction that's going, let's not go there. I'm just happy it's moving forward away from us.
Just to note, we live off of Archer Avenue.
We live right off of Archer Avenue.
Okay.
Archer is like literally like block, go that way, you're at Archer.
So. Okay. Okay. Kid, you ever seen anything like Sasquatch or Loch Ness Monster or anything like that? A cryptid, chupacabra?
Not yet. I'm willing to, though. I mean, I'm down to go investigate them, though.
You're down with it? Okay.
Joe? Yeah, but no, I haven't seen
no. Me. Okay, Joe, you ever seen anything like that?
No cryptids yet, but I keep my eyes out, man.
They always say wherever there's an alien, you might see Sasquatch.
How about it? Yeah, I'm open-minded. Hopefully.
Good deal. Now, you guys have a couple of events coming up. You've got, as we mentioned before, in August, you have, on August 19th, you've got ISS, Indiana State Sanatorium. On August 10th, you have a night at Bell Mansion that's coming up, which is a charity event. Proceeds go to the Center for Nonviolence. Figure we should mention that one. October 7th, you have the Haunted Rock Island YMCA event as well, the Paracon there. Any other ones I'm missing here?
There is hope at Wildwood Sanatorium in New York. We will be out September 23rd, and that's also a charity. It's for suicide prevention. So we like to do a lot of charity work when we can.
That's good. And a good charity at that. And like I said, where I had first noticed you was there at Potographs in Iowa, which is a good event as well. They're doing different events throughout the nation. Before we leave everybody today, tell me a little bit about Old Lenox College and what you thought of the investigation there. Was that where the investigation was?
Oh, so that event actually wound up getting canceled.
Oh, did it?
Before. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Tim, I think, is dealing with, I know he had something with his foot and,
okay.
You know, he's been dealing with some health issues. So, we did not go through. I would love to go there. You know, when I saw the pictures, I was like,
this that place looks really cool.
But Dustin Perry, like, he was supposed to be at that event too. And yep. we love Dustin.
I love Dustin.
Like, he's a good guy.
I made him a spirit box.
Yep.
He wanted a special spirit box. So I helped him with that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I like the challenge of like, different types of spirit boxes. So he has a CB radio spirit box. And when I make spirit boxes like that, I don't make them again.
Oh,
so I only make one of, like, if it's something specific, I only make one of them.
That's one really of a cool. kind.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's real cool. That actually is kind of in this is going to sound corny, in the spirit of the actual spirit box or the you know, when the original spirit boxes were made, they were made as a limited edition. They weren't made to be mass produced. So that's really cool that you do that as a one.
Yeah. Frank's boxes are really cool.
Yeah. Frank's boxes are. And if you can find one, but yeah. And I actually got to sit with an actual Frank's box at the Stanley Hotel. So that was
cool. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, at the Stanley. That's
really cool.
Yeah. So that, God. Yeah, that was, with Chris Moon. It was actually pretty cool. Pretty cool. So folks, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Again, ACG Paranormal, you can find them on Facebook or Linktree. I'll get used to that yet, guys. Linktree. Well, if people want to hang out with you at an event, check out your Facebook or again, go to Linktree and check them out. Go hang out with them. I'm intrigued, but I got to come out to an event and see exactly how you incorporate music with the whole investigation thing. Because again, I'm intrigued. I want to see how how energy is kind of incorporated in with everything.
A good one to go to would be October 7th. We're actually leading the investigation, so it's going to be all ACG. So
all right.
It's going to be the way that we do things and how we want to do things. So,
and that's the Haunted Rock Island YMCA Paracon.
Yes.
All right. So October
7th. We'll have 7th. Lots of lights and lots guitar and
there you go.
It'll be a party.
There you go. Like kid said, it'll be a party. So the Haunted Rock Island YMCA Paracon. ACG Paranormal, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Folks, that'll do it for today's show. I want to thank you so much for tuning in this week and for a great week of Darkness Radio. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. A reminder, if you like what you hear, go ahead and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to these podcasts. And, give us a good word wherever you want to, with a friend, with a neighbor, with a loved one, and remind them that they can hear the best in paranormal programming right here on Darkness Radio. I want to remind you guys this weekend that Beer City Bruiser, if you want to support our buddy Beer City Bruiser, that this weekend he will have his last match for the foreseeable future on Title Match Network, which you can get wherever you stream your programming. So it could be on Apple TV, it could be on the internet, wherever, if you're streaming on a computer, wherever you're streaming your programming. I know this weekend I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch Bruiser's last match for the foreseeable future. I say foreseeable future because Bruiser is having hip replacement surgery. And the reason we say foreseeable future, because nowadays medical technology is so good that some of these guys are wrestling on hip replacements. You got guys like Rhino and other guys that, you know, they do wrestle part-time on hip replacements, but Bruiser's looking at life after wrestling. So he's not going to be wrestling full-time. It'll be a treat if he does come back part-time. But this is kind of his last hurrah to full-time wrestling. So it's a treat. He's going to be reuniting with Brian Malonis. They're reteaming. The Bouncers are from Ring of Honor. And you can see him in AML, which is his home fed in North Carolina. If you sign up for the Title Match Network, or not necessarily sign up, I put that wrong. If you go to the Title Match Network, and we're going to have a link in the events section of darknessradioshow.com. So go to darknessradioshow.com, go to the events section. I'll have a link up there for you to check out. AML Confrontation is the name of the card. When you go to AML Confrontation, you're going to see a heck of a card this weekend. I'll tell you that much. Boy, have they stacked that card for this last go around for Bruiser before hip surgery. Some of the matches you can look forward to. First of all, Jacob Fatu from MLW is going to be there. He's part of the bloodline, technically, from WWE, although you haven't seen him yet. Bojack versus Jacob Fatu. You've got George South versus Joey Janela. There's another good match. Some of you wrestling fans out there know some of the names I'm saying. Billy Brash and Speedball Mike Bailey from Impact Wrestling. You've got a mixed tag match, Ari Alexander and Brian Pillman Jr. from AEW versus Psycho Love, which is Angelina Love from Impact, and Bad Boy Fodder, which I believe is her real life fiance. So they're wrestling. The four-way tag match, which Bruiser is in, is the Bouncers. So that's Bruiser and Brian Malonis versus the Dawson Brothers, versus JAC and Zuka King versus Skyline. It's going to be a huge match, that four-way tag match, which you can look forward to. Colby Carino, who's Steve Carino's son, who's an amazing wrestler on his own, is taking on John Skyler in a prestige title match. And C.W. Anderson from ECW is taking on Danny Burch. That's going to be a huge match as well. So they got a stacked card for this deal, and we'll have a link to it. Again, it's called AML Wrestling Confrontation. We'll have a link to it. It's June 25th, and it's on before the Forbidden Door pay-per-view for AEW Wrestling. So those of you who are looking forward to Forbidden Door, you can watch it in the afternoon before AEW. It actually takes place at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern. So you got plenty of time to get in and watch Bruiser's last match before hip surgery. and then you can watch AEW. I know it's not a wrestling show, Tim. It's not a wrestling show. We want to support our guy Bruiser anyways and see him go out before he has his hip surgery. So not, like I told you before, yesterday for Supernatural News, Bruiser's going to be out for the next week or two. Will he have either Mally Fox or Jessica Freeberg join us for next week's festivities for True Crime Tuesday and for Wednesday Supernatural News? And the Bruiser will join us again when he's kind of feeling up to it. Again, it's a huge surgery, that hip replacement. We want him to be feeling at his best to come back and join us. And again, send your thoughts, your prayers, your energy to Bruiser. He's having that surgery on the 29th. So on the 29th, if you can kind of, you know, gather your thoughts, prayers, your healing energy for Bruiser, send it out to him. We'll send a reminder out on social media. So kind of keep your thoughts with him this weekend. And this weekend, we kind of want to focus on Bruiser. Again, if you want to do something special for someone this weekend in honor of Bruiser, do that. We'd appreciate it as well. So take care of yourself and each other. Keep Bruiser in your thoughts. And we want to wish you a very good weekend this weekend. Have some fun this weekend. We're going to kind of gather around the wrestling ring, maybe cook out, have some good food, enjoy this weekend. And then we'll see you again this coming Tuesday for True Crime Tuesday. For Beer City Bruiser, for Jessica Freeberg, for Mally Fox, I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for allowing us to do what we love to do and entertaining you. Here on the best in paranormal podcasting, this is Darkness Radio.